Good morning. Buenos dias. I have two songs today that were part of the soundtrack of my time in Honduras. First is Rocío Dúrcal performing Como Tu Mujer. The first time I heard one of her songs on the radio, I was gobsmacked. I think you'll get the message, which to me is a woman fed up calling it quits with her man. I'm so happy to talk to you today about my Peace Corps service in Honduras. 2 years that profoundly changed my life. First, a little background, then we'll have the slideshow. The mission of Peace Corps is to promote world peace and friendship by fulfilling three goals: to help people of interested countries in meeting their needs for trained men and women, to promote a better understanding of Americans on the part of people served, and to promote a better understanding of other peoples on the part of Americans. I was inspired when I heard about President Kennedy's Peace Corps program. Why not make peace instead of war and reach out to help people in other countries? Well, when I finished university, which is a common time for people to volunteer for the Peace Corps, I didn't feel I had any kind of practical skills I could pass on. Plus, I was way too timid and shy to consider going to another country by myself. Years later, after having raised dairy goats, started gardens, worked on a dairy farm, and moved across the country to Rhode Island and back again by myself, the idea of volunteering for Peace Corps seemed like something I could do. The application process took quite a long time, but eventually I was offered Honduras and I jumped on it. We had 6 weeks stateside training in St. Helena Island, South Carolina. And then September, we were in country for 3 months training at the Agriculture Center. It's located in Valle de Angeles, a beautiful town in the mountains outside the capital, Tegucigalpa. We were housed with families in the village. My family did not speak any English, obviously a good thing for immersion learning. But my main memories are of teachers of embarrassment and struggling to communicate. Fortunately, we had excellent teachers from various Latin American countries and spent a large part of each day learning the language. Assignment, expectations versus reality. After all that training, we new volunteers were so anxious to find out our assignments and start working. My group graduated in mid-December, that would have been 88, then we had a couple weeks to find a place to live and orient ourselves before starting to work, we hoped, in January. I was assigned to the Department of Natural Resources, which is akin to our agricultural extension services here, in Choluteca, the hot south of the country. Finally on site, I thought I would be working with my counterpart at the DNR, the small animal husbandry guy. I kept going to the office, which was within bicycle distance of the house, but nobody there seemed to even know a volunteer was coming or what to do with me once I was there. I later understood that things had changed during the time between when the agency requested a volunteer and when I showed up after Peace Corps was able to recruit and train a new group, because of course they don't do it one by one, a small animal husbandry volunteers. For one thing, a national election had occurred and there was a different political party in power. The position of my would-be counterpart at DNR, the small animal guy, had no funding to buy gas, it turned out. So the gentleman didn't come to the office very often and didn't go anywhere when he did. Added to that was my communication challenge. The educated Spanish we learned did not seem to relate to the way everybody in my area spoke. They could understand me, but I couldn't really get what they were saying. They talked really fast. To say I was flummoxed is putting it mildly. Now, let's start the slideshow with help from George and hope I can manage to share the screen. Map of the country, and you'll see the capital, well, I guess it's not so in the middle as I thought, at Tegucigalpa. In order to get to Choluteca, down there at the bottom, of course, the mountains don't show on the map. You have to go through a very windy, long road through a big mountain chain, and then you descend into Choluteca. Please notice in the north, which is the Caribbean coast, obviously, with the beautiful white sand beaches. And it doesn't show on here, but there's a little town called Tela that's going to figure a little bit later. And then Copan on the west, the far west, and our own, the provinces of Chulateca and Valle down in the south on the Gulf of Fonseca. This is our first house. It's the pink house. Doesn't look so pink here, but I better look what I want to say or we'll be off track. Seven volunteers were assigned to the Chulateca area in various sectors from different groups. All became good friends and we loved to party together. This is the front door of the house. Anne on the left was an education volunteer who arrived in my group. Christine in the middle, who was in the small business sector, is a dear friend to this day. She lives in Illinois. We later became housemates. Anne and I shared this house while the owners were abroad, and it became party central for Chulateca volunteer gatherings. This is the Mercado Verde. Chris and I in our weekly shopping, just having a blast. Chulateca was a small market city with an attractive old center and had a once lively commerce serving travelers on the Pan Am Highway. It passes right through town. Because of the Contra War in Nicaragua, the Pan Am Highway was closed at the border, not far south of town. The town was then much quieter in those days, but the local lives, for the locals, life went on, and you could find any vegetable or fruit in season and a lot more at the weekly market. And this is two pictures put together. I wanted to show the big watermelons. And here's some boys who were working at the market, working and hanging out, selling onions. This is the mayor's office, the alcalde, which you notice the transport then. There were no parking problem. It's all bicycles. And some little girls that were I encountered on the street who were hopefully on their way to school. This is the main Catholic church in Chulateca, and maybe the only Catholic church. I really didn't see too much other churches around in that area. Now, here I am in Christine's kitchen. I think it's just a visit this time. I'm in my usual sweaty state, which occurred all the time during the first months in country, especially. I was mighty impressed with Chris's handy Spanish verb declensions posted on the wall. When the owners of the pink house were due back, Chris invited me to share her place, and we had so much fun. These gentlemen are my work colleagues and saviors. Benoit from France on the left, Mauro in the middle, a Honduran graduate student from Cartier, which is one of the regional research centers in Costa Rica. And Miguel, who is a Honduran who joined the team later, was a local expert on our small animal team. I was saved from work limbo. I better go back 1 second for my guys. I was saved from work limbo by the unlikely but fortunate occurrence of an international research project, a French-Honduran cooperation focused on my region. Best yet, it was goat research, studying local farmers' practices, production methods, and problems, and I was allowed to join the team. We first had only a broken-down Jeep, wish I had a picture, for transport and limited funds for diesel, but we were moving. These gentlemen had great resilience and positivity, and I tried to follow their lead. The first phase of work involved visiting goat farmers in tiny villages in Chulateca and Valle provinces to get to know them and record data on their production over time. In this photo, we're in the trees there. You can see we've started into the second phase of the research, which focused on using trees for goat feed and evaluating the relative value of several types of native trees. By this time, more funding had arrived and we had a better vehicle and we could get around the four of us without sweating to death. This is about a peanut project. Peace Corps volunteers are always encouraged to develop a secondary project. So while I was wondering how I would ever accomplish anything with my assigned agency, I started a little gardening project with teachers and students at a nearby school. Or maybe I should just say I joined into their project. Peanuts for seed were donated, and the students and teachers, and I was there too, planted them. Peanuts are very popular in Honduras, and of course, they're very nutritious snacks. So teachers and students were enthusiastic. In these slides, we've come to the best type, harvest. And the little boys are, you can still see the green plants there. This is my friend Virginia. She came to visit the week before the big harvest date was scheduled. So we made our way back from the far west side of the country via long bus rides in time to participate. And she dug right in, and we're getting those peanuts out of the ground. And some little girls, now that we've got the vines pulled up, they're pulling the peanuts off the roots. And this is just kind of showing the way the countryside is there. Christine and I going on a visit. I'm not sure why we're out without our hats on. It must have been a cooler day. The Honduran sun bleached everything, the vegetation, the buildings, our clothes, and even our hair. We didn't need a hairdresser. This is another school project, different school for the kids, and they were growing, looks like some taro and a lot of weeds, but these were always really fun side things to be able to do something. This is at a women's group. We're checking out how to tell if a hen is still laying or just a coaster, hanging out, eating feed, and not helping with anything. I eventually worked with women farmers group who raise pigs and chickens. I was also able to leverage a small fund to help them improve their pens and stock. And there was a dairy cooperative on the way to the beach, beautiful cattle. They also raised chickens, and I visited with them some on their techniques too. These are some ladies at a cooperative. Our research team visited for just on our going around the south part of the country. They had an orchard of cashew trees, and here they're getting the nuts out of the husk, which first they're roasted in a fire and then broken out with mallets, which it's kind of hard to see, but both ladies have mallets, and they then would sell the nuts. The cashew has a very irritating substance in its shell, something like poison ivy. So the women told me not to touch, but as you can see, they are touching them, so I guess they got used to it. This picture was taken probably near the end of my 2 years in the garden of our house, the second house, Chris's house. Those vines growing up beside me are velvet bean. Another side project was promoting less well-known legumes, and the velvet bean plus Dolichos lavlav and pigeon peas were some of those. Sally suggested I tell success stories. I guess these stories are them. 2 years seemed a long time when I started, but is actually quite short to see results in agriculture. Before you can attempt to affect positive change, you must spend considerable time to understand what people are already doing and why. There is always a good reason for the way people evolve their practices and how they're raising things. So it's sort of like social anthropology. Need time and then more time to figure out a way that could improve it and to see. And when people see the result, then they're quite happy to continue on. Looking back, I can only hope the Hondurans I worked with, colleagues and country people alike, gained even a small portion of the benefit from my 2 year service there that I did. Okay, so now we have intermission, but first we're gonna have a little travelogue for fun. First, we're going to have a musical interlude for which you are all invited and encouraged to get up and dance. It's a merengue tune performed by Elvis Crespo, called Suavemente, as in softly, kiss me softly. Okay, hope everybody enjoyed a little dancing. Now, we will start the slideshow again to just see some travel around the country, not in chronological order. So this is on a trip to the north. On the way, I'm helping my friend Joanne move to the town of Tela, where her site was, in between, before we started working. You can see a whole group of people on the bank waiting to get across. This is probably a flooded ford, and there's a 2x4 there, and people in the water to assist people to come over one by one. I really don't think we did that. I don't remember, but it was certainly had been a lot of rain. But we did cross with the help of this very small but quite able boatman, swale like that was in the way going along the beach. And this is Joanne, our guy. He's got a rope tied to that, as you see. So he pushed her across and then pulled the canoe back with the rope. And then it was my turn. That's the smallest canoe I've ever been in, but it worked fine. This is on the beach at Tela, where fishermen are, the Garifuna people live up there on the north coast, along with all the other Hondurans, but they are excellent fishermen. My friend Virginia was visiting at the time of this trip, and we saw these guys cleaning the fish and asked if they could cook us up a dinner, and they did. It was a really big fish. I don't know what kind, but it was really delicious. Here's the ladies on the beach at Tela selling pan de coco, coconut bread. Those were the most delicious rolls I have ever eaten. And you don't need butter on them. Okay, this is a goofy photo. We are now on the west of the country in Copan, where the Mayan ruins, right almost on the Guatemalan border. This is possibly the farthest eastern outpost of the Mayan civilization. And it's a little hard to tell because of the ornate carving, but I am standing like that because I'm imitating the pose of the stele, or the statue there. She or he has his hands in the same pose I do, which is... Now, this is back in south, our country, but after the rain, you can see it looks quite different, and people are taking home firewood and fodder for their animals with their pack horses. And here's the Honduran flag. Very lovely. And finally, some of the treats there. And the big jar is most likely the ice cold milk and corn drink they make that they call pozol in Honduras. It has a lot of cinnamon and sugar and delicious stuff in it. And then this on the right is a pescado, a nice fresh grilled fish with some hot sauce there to go with it, and tostones, fried plantain, and then I don't know what the white stuff was, maybe yuca. So that is the end of our traveling, and thank you for your kind attention. If we have any questions, we'd be happy to chat afterward or answer them depending on our time. Thank you.